Greetings and welcome back to another episode of the Council of Velerond. In today's episode, we'll be looking at the two less famous wizards in Tolkien's lore, the Blue Wizards. Who are they? What do they get up to in Middle-earth? We'll be talking about some of the inconsistencies in Tolkien's world concerning these two, and some theories about where they ended up. So sit back and prepare to have your tiny human minds blown.
A wizard is never late, Frodo Baggins.
I'm Dave, and with me, as per usual, is my brother and co-host, Johnny.
Hello.
So welcome, Johnny.
Hi.
How are you getting on?
I'm good. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. This is your second time on the show, is it?
I'm very nervous.
So yeah, any crack? How was your holidays? You're just back from Lanzarote.
Yeah, just had a lovely week on the beach there, so that was nice. It's always nice to have a little beach getaway when the summer is coming to an end and the long nights are coming and it's getting really cold and Christmassy, and then you're like, I just want a little bit more beach. Just give me the beach a little bit more. So we had a few days on the beach.
Love them beaches.
It was really relaxing. Did nothing. Just lay on the beach, read a book, chilled at the bar, and we had all inclusive in the hotel. So it was just free beers and free cocktails all week. So it was pretty sweet. So yeah, that was so great. Nice. But now I'm back, and you know, back at it, ready for
back in sunny Spain.
Yeah, actually it's still lovely here. It's cold, but I did go out this morning and I had my breakfast sitting outside in the terrace in the sun, and it was still quite nice. So but it's just, you know, you have to wear an extra layer. That's the only difference.
Oh, yeah, it must be nice. To be honest, I don't know, have you heard much about Ireland's temperature over the last couple of weeks and months? But it's actually been extremely mild, and I know that's such an Irish way of
shocking mild.
Talking about the weather, but it's actually been so mild in the fact that I haven't even put on my winter coat at all. Or I have a couple of times, but walking into college, and when it's kind of cold when you're leaving the door, but by the time you get to college, you're absolutely sweating.
Oh yeah, you're carrying it under your arm.
Yeah, but just in the last 2 days, the chill has really turned up, and I think we're promised snow today and tomorrow and so.
And it's not Netflix and chill. It's actual chill.
No. It's a proper chill. So let's get on to it anyways. So Johnny, for anyone that doesn't actually know exactly how many wizards there are in Middle-earth, would you let them know?
There are five wizards in Middle-earth.
Yes, so exactly. There are three kind of main ones that people might know about from the Jackson films, which are, would you like to enlighten us?
Well, Gandalf, Saruman and Radagast the Brown.
Exactly, Radagast the Brown. But we see in, I think it's the Return of the King extended edition, and in the Two Towers book, Saruman says, "Yes, when you also have the keys of Barad-dûr itself, I suppose, and the crowns of the seven kings, and the rods of the five wizards." So there is a reference to other wizards in Middle-earth.
That's the only mention in Peter Jackson's movies of the fact that there are five wizards.
Exactly. And I think it might be the only mention in the three Lord of the Rings books.
Actually, yeah, I think that could be true as well, yeah.
I think it is the only mention.
Yeah, so a little sneak peek there that Tolkien threw into the main Lord of the Rings trilogy. Because he was like, okay, we'll have a spin-off. As soon as this comes out, once this is a big deal, people are going to be like, wait a minute, five rods? That means there's two more. Oh my God. And then that.
Yeah, it's kind of like back in when A New Hope released for Star Wars, and Obi-Wan Kenobi just has that one line where he says something like, "Back when I fought in the Clone Wars." And everyone's like, "What the hell are the Clone Wars?" And 40 years later, or whatever it was, maybe 30 years later, they made the movie. So,
yeah.
"Along with the crowns of the seven kings and the rods of the five wizards."
So, Johnny, do you know the names of these two blue wizards? Remember? I know you knew them.
I knew them, and I think I still do. And I was like, unfortunately, my nerdiness is probably that I do know them. I might get them wrong, but I'm going to give. I think it's not Annatar, because obviously that's who Sauron used to be. But it's very similar. Is it like Alatar with an L? Alatar is one of them.
Yes, Alatar. Yes, well done. You are correct. Alatar is one of them,
and the other one is Palando.
Yes, well done, Palando. So Alatar is Quenya for aftercomer, and Palando is Quenya for far one. And their names sound awfully like Annatar and Fernando, but coincidence? I think not.
Who's Fernando?
Well, when I was trying to think of Palando, I just had that ABBA song stuck in my head, you know, like, there must be something in the air tonight. Palando. But I do think it's interesting because if you look back to our Palantir episode when we talked about pal meant far and tier meant what, seeing or something. So pal is like far. So palando is, what was it, far one, which I don't know. I just think all that kind of stuff is cool when you break down the words.
Hmm. And when you read, when you see that, like, yeah, they all have their meaning and all the names make sense in their certain little ways. But now we're just like, what's your name? My name's Tim. What does that mean? I don't know.
There are some who call me Tim.
Tim.
But the two blue wizards, their true names were not known in Western Middle Earth. But in another version of their tale, the blue wizards are known as Morinatar and Ramastamo, meaning Darkness Slayer and East Helper. But we'll get into that a little bit later.
That's the other good thing about Tolkien. Just when you think you've gotten to a nice level of nerdiness that you remember the actual names of the blue wizards, he's like, oh no, they had way more names. That if you don't remember that, then you like you lose out your nerdy points. So I've still got a ways to go yet.
Yeah, it is a little bit annoying when you're kind of introduced to a new character and then it's like this character goes to Rohan and it's like, oh, greetings, different name. Oh, because I'm known as that in Rohan. And then if I go to Gondor or if I go here or there or yeah. And then I might change my name halfway through the book.
And don't even try to remember all of Turin's names. Like,
no.
Turin Durumbar has got about 15 names if you read The Children of Húrin. It's like, oh my God. And now I'm going to change my name to the whatever. And you're like, oh, no, I was only just getting to know it. Yeah, exactly. Tim. They should all be called Tim.
Which is Quenya for Beast Eater or something. I don't know.
By what name are you known? There are some who call me Tim. Greetings, Tim the Enchanter.
So back to the Blue Wizards. There isn't actually much known about these blue guys, also known as the Ithrin Luin. So there you go. There's another name for blue wizards, Ithrin Luin. There just isn't that much written about them, but something interesting about them is that their canon had changed as Tolkien seemed to change his mind on them throughout his published books. So, Johnny, what were they doing in Middle-earth and why do we not hear much about them?
Just, that's a big question.
What
were they doing in Middle-earth? Well, that's what it's nobody like knows, really. I mean, where would they see themselves in 5 years, the Blue Wizards? What they were doing, I don't really know because that's what nobody really knows. But you kind of touched on it there that the canon kind of changed. And again, it's a long, long time since I actually did any research on the Blue Wizards. So I can't remember too much, but I do remember that basically one major thing that changed was Tolkien's the timing of their arrival in Middle Earth. I believe that Tolkien initially said that they arrived at the same time as the other three wizards and that they all came together. And maybe later on he changed it and they came at a different point in time. But anyway, what they actually did in Middle Earth, I believe they went east. I think they went to the far east, out to like Saudi Arabia or something. And they went out like east of Mordor. And I don't know, they were just hanging around there. I think like, as in, there's loads of different speculations that they were like, building their own little tribes and their own little, groups. And I think they may have been like setting up their own little cults and stuff like that. And like, again, this is all speculation because I don't remember if actually sent it in the books.
Yeah, no, you're actually hitting a lot of points very accurately, which I'm quite surprised at because, you know.
Jesus, me too.
Look at you. But yeah, no, you're quite right with a lot of the stuff. But yeah, that's one thing you touched on there, east of Mordor. Just before I get into this like absolute nerd vomit here, if you are familiar with the Lord of the Rings or even the extended material, you might just look at the map and see this is the full map. But that's far from the full map. Like, okay, if we're looking at like Mordor, let's say, which is on the eastern side of the map, it's still considered Western Middle Earth, if you know what I mean. Like, well, according to some of the tales. Obviously, there was a lot more west and that sank and yada yada. But like, anyways, I'll just start from the beginning. So you better be listening carefully here.
I've already chewed out.
Well, I'm going to quiz you later. So you better.
Oh, God. Okay. I've got my notebook here. I'm ready. Ask me anything.
Just for our listeners, he doesn't actually have a notebook.
It's in my brain.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So the Valar, which are the demigods. So if you've been listening to the podcast for the last couple of weeks, you're going to know who the Valar and the Istari are. But I'm just going to dumb it down for you a little bit here. But the Valar, a.k.a. the demigods, chose the Istari, a.k.a. the wizards, as emissaries to Middle-earth to assist the people in their efforts against the growing darkness and threat of Sauron. There was a council formed by the Lord of the Valar, Manwë, where it was decided by Arome the Hunter to send Alatar. Now Alatar wanted to bring along his best friend Palando, so the council agreed upon three other Maiar, and in the year 1000 of the Third Age, the two blue wizards leave Valinor to travel to Middle-earth with Saruman, also known as...
Kurumo,
and Kurumo. Gandalf, also known as...
Olorin.
You're brilliant. And Radagast, also known as... Exactly, I knew you wouldn't know it.
The loser.
Yeah. The brown guy. Radagast was actually known as Iwendil, which is cool. So there's some nerdiness for you.
Nobody cares, Sean. Nobody cares.
So basically, the two wizards and Saruman travel to the east of Middle-earth. This is further east than Mordor, like I just explained a few minutes ago. Nearly 1,500 years later, Saruman returns to the northwest of Middle-earth without the wizards, and they were never heard of again. There are theories that Saruman is the reason for the disappearance of the blue wizards, but there is absolutely no evidence backing up this other than just pure speculation. Also, Saruman doesn't become a servant of Sauron until much, much later, like I think a couple thousand years later. I think it's not like a thousand years later until we see the first evidence of his fall, where he starts to kind of become jealous of Gandalf and whatnot. But yeah, there's no reason to suggest that he did anything to the Blue Wizards. But anyways, in a letter by Tolkien written in 1958, he says, "I really do not know anything clearly about the other two, since they do not concern the history of the Northwest. I think they went as emissaries to distant regions, east and south, far out of Numenorean range, missionaries to enemy-occupied lands, as it were. What success they had, I do not know, but I fear that they failed, as Saruman did, though doubtless in different ways, and I suspect they were founders or beginnings of secret cults and magic traditions that outlasted the fall of Sauron."
That was written by Tolkien.
That was written by Tolkien in a letter.
Sure, what would he know about the Blue Wizards? I'd much rather listen to whatever someone says on Reddit about what their opinion on the Blue Wizards is. And I think that's a much more trustworthy source.
I also think it's kind of funny how like people look at old writers like Tolkien and stuff, and they consider like letters that they wrote to some lad canon. They might be some certain canon, which is kind of funny because, you know, in this day and age, if... J.K. Rowling tweets something. Actually, I think it is actually considered Harry Potter canon if she tweets something. But, you know, if like some random author was to now write about some character, is that considered canon, even if it's not in an official published book? I don't know. But it's just something to think about. But is it like, imagine texting your mate and your mate is like, "Hey, Tolkien, what was the story with the Blue Wizards there? You didn't write much about them." And he's like, "I don't know. I reckon they just went over to the east and, you know, they did whatever they wanted, but..." Like, then, like, years later, it's like, "That's canon." No take back these.
Yeah, but again, Tolkien did a lot of speculating, and he wrote loads of drafts of different things before they eventually became published. And even as we said, and as you're probably going to give us more information on with the Blue Wizards, that he wrote things, and then he wrote other things, like, he wrote things in an official capacity, and then he wrote other things later on that contradicted what he had originally said. So... even like he as the creator didn't have everything completely, you know, set out in his brain in one point. Things developed over time. And I think that's definitely still the best source to go for, where he says, "I reckon they probably did this and they probably did that." Like maybe years later, he could have changed his mind and he could have written something else and then officially released that. But that didn't happen either. So I think whatever is the most recent or whatever the latest thing that Tolkien decided, that's probably what we should take to be the most secure canon.
I would agree. I just think it is funny how like a lot of quotes or a lot of sources that we find from Tolkien is like, "Oh, a letter from Tolkien says," but can you imagine like in modern times, you wouldn't be like, "Well, a text from Terry Pratchett says this," you know?
But I suppose letters were more official. Like, you know, you had to sit down and like think things out clearly and write them. And It's like, I don't know, a letter is definitely, you know, more official than a WhatsApp or something. So
a nude, a dick pic.
So I reckon that's still, for me, that's still canon, in my opinion, because it doesn't matter if it's not included in the book. If somebody asks the author officially, what's the story with whatever, like you said, imagine you ask J.K. Rowling, hey, so whatever happened to whoever? And she says, oh, well, they probably just went and did this. It's just like maybe she didn't have time to put that in the book, but that's actually in her brain is where the story is being developed and all that kind of stuff. And also earlier I said that I would take the latest thing that Tolkien said to be canon, because obviously, as I said, he does contradict himself sometimes. But I imagine that if he has said contradictory things, the latest information that he gave is the one that he's given more thought to. And he's thought maybe actually it would make more sense if we had to change that. And now this is my new updated version. And so that's probably the one that I would go
with. Yeah. It is a bit confusing, though, especially when you're reading his books now in 2021. And, you know, some of his published books came out like 50 years ago, 60 years ago. And it's like, oh, well, this one came out 2 years later. So that's technically more newer But anyways, I mentioned there, well, in Tolkien's quote, he mentions how he says, but I fear they failed, as Saruman did, though doubtless in different ways. He's basically referring to, in Unfinished Tales, Tolkien mentions that Gandalf was the only Istari that didn't lose sight or fail his mission.
Yeah.
And he was the only one that stayed faithful to his task and eventually returned to Valinor.
Yeah, that's quite a famous quote. And so that's something that people always like go back to, that Gandalf was the only one that actually stayed true to his task. And so obviously that meant that the Blue Wizards must have been evil or whatever, but it doesn't really mean that. It just means that maybe they lost sight of what they were supposed to be doing. And
or just failed. Like,
yeah.
He said they failed. Like in that quote, he says they failed, just like Saruman did, but though doubtless it was completely different, the way that they both failed. One like actually fell to evil and the others just, they weren't good enough.
Yeah, when he says they failed, it just means that they lost sight of their mission and they didn't carry out they didn't complete their mission. They just went off and kind of, you know, maybe did things for their own gain, but not to the same level as Saruman. Maybe they just, maybe again, thousands of years, maybe they just forgot. Maybe after like a few hundred years, they were like, what are we supposed to be doing again? Oh, man.
Look at Radagast, like.
I had it written down somewhere on a piece of paper. I lost it. I think, I smoked that piece of paper. And
what was it? Stop evil. Oh, I can't remember.
Something.
Join evil. Something evil.
something help Middle Earth something. Yeah. Don't know.
Something dark side.
something dark side. Something complete.
So, quick segue, Johnny. Our rings have finally arrived. Ooh. What do you think?
I'm wearing it right now.
Oh, me too. Yeah, so if you guys have been listening to the podcast the last few weeks, we received an extremely generous message from Rowan Silversmiths on Instagram, and he offered to send us a ring, and they finally, a ring each, that is, and they finally arrived, and they are beautiful. The craftsmanship, the detail in the inscription, they're gorgeous.
They are the one ring, we should mention. They're not just like, he didn't propose to both of us or anything.
Well, mine's a diamond ring.
Oh.
Yeah, the one ring. It looks just like the Ring of Power from the film. Like, especially when you're looking at the... I wasn't even sure if he was going to be able to do the inscription on the ring. I just thought, like, it would be the ring when it's not.
Just a plain gold band.
Yeah. But it's gorgeous. It looks absolutely class. So,
And you know, Dave and I were big Lord of the Rings nerds, so we've had plenty of rings of power in our time. And I have to say, this one is like by far and away, it's just another level to other things. Like you can buy stuff in like gift shops or whatever, and they don't come close. They all kind of just, they don't really look that good. They're all kind of, you know, they start to fade after time and all that. But this one looks like something you just, I mean, it's from a proper jeweler's. Proper. So,
Yeah. Forged by Sauron himself.
Exactly.
So, you guys should really check out his page on Instagram. It's Rowan Silversmiths, and consider purchasing one of these top quality pieces. We'll probably drop a link. We will definitely drop a link in the podcast description. So keep an eye out for that.
He also goes by the Dark Lord. I'm kidding. He doesn't. But I mean, I could have sworn that the Dark Lord made these rings because they're pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty addictive as well. It's hard to take them off.
Are you eyeing up my ring right now? You better back off, right?
Back off, man.
I'm going to strangle you to death.
Since we are segueing at the moment, I'm also just going to take this time to quickly say, guys, please subscribe to the podcast and leave a review. It massively helps us out with the algorithm on Spotify and Apple Podcasts or whatever you're streaming on. It's just a click or two of a button, but it really, truly, humongously helps us out. So if you haven't done so yet, please, 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 please do. Thank you very much.
Pretty please.
Thank you. Love you.
You are most welcome.
So back to the Blue guys. What happened to the Blue Wizards, Johnny? Do we know?
I don't think we know. Do we? I have no idea.
I don't know. We're going to find out now.
Whoa, I'm strapping myself in.
We're going to find out if we know what happens to the Blue Wizards. So in part 4 of the book Unfinished Tales titled Istari, it says, of the Blue, little was known in the West, and they had no names save Ithrin Luin, the Blue Wizards, for they passed into the East with Curunir, but they never returned, and whether they remained in the East pursuing there the purposes for which they were sent, or perished, or as some hold were ensnared by Sauron and became his servants, is not now known. But yeah, interestingly, Tolkien came back to the Blue Wizards later in his own life and made some pretty big deviations from his earlier writings. Tolkien claims that rather than the year 1000 of the Third Age, they arrived into Middle-earth nearly 3000 years earlier in the Second Age, around the same time as Glorfindel the Elf. Mm-hmm. I think it's like 2800 years or 2845 or 54 or something. Anyway,
Second Age,
nearly 3000 years earlier and in the Second Age. So this would mean that they arrived long before Gandalf and Saruman and Radagast, I suppose. Whilst Glorfindel was tasked with helping out Elrond in some other war, the War of Eriador, the two wizards were tasked with going to the east and south. That sounds like a much easier task to me, but also, Tolkien hints that in this version, the wizards didn't fail their mission, as he writes in The Peoples of Middle-earth, their task was to circumvent Sauron, to bring help to the few tribes of men that had rebelled from Melkor worship, to stir up rebellion. And after his first fall to search out his hiding, in which they failed, and to cause dissension and disarray among the Dark East, they must have had very great influence on the history of the Second Age and the Third Age in weakening and disarraying the forces of the East, who would both in the Second Age and Third Age otherwise have outnumbered the West. Sorry, that was a bit of a mouthful.
So if your name is Ray, you're going to get dissed a lot, according to that quote. Because a lot of disarrayed.
Yeah, so basically in this version of the tale, the Blue Wizards become known as their Quenya names. Do you remember what they are?
Quenya names? I don't, not even a bit.
is it Quenya names? The Quenya names are Eletar and Palando. But the other ones, which are Morinatar and Romastamo, meaning Darkness Slayer and East Helper. So they are basically in the East trying to find Sauron, but fail as he eventually evades them and leaves to go west to Mordor. Now, in the Second and Third Age, whilst they are there, the Blue Wizards prevent the forces from the East outnumbering the forces of the West, which is pivotal for both the victories of the War of the Last Alliance and the War of the Ring. It seemed that they possibly gathered help from all the rebelling tribes to fight against the Easterlings, not unlike Rohan gathering all their forces to face the armies of Saruman, which I think is quite interesting. So there might have been a little bit of a parallel going on there.
Mm. And so their names meant East Helper and Darkness Slayer. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Matt, East Helper got a rough draw there with his name. Darkness Slayer is so much cooler. Yeah. I am Darkness Slayer and I'm East Helper.
I think... I think it was Nerd of the Rings that I was watching, and I think he said that halfway through his video. He was like, by the way, guys, Darkness Slayer is a way cooler name than Helper. And I was like, yeah, that's very true.
Oh, this is the first time I've ever heard those two names. So, yeah, very good. We've both had the same thoughts on those names there.
Yeah, but those are the two different versions, I suppose, of what Tolkien wrote about them. And that's pretty much all we know of the two wizards, but there are plenty of theories that you can dig into online. But it isn't known what became of the wizards in either tale. Are they still alive? If they travelled nearly 3,000 years before Saruman and the gang, did they even ever meet the other wizards? Now, Saruman still did travel to the east in both versions, so he could have met them. But I do think it's interesting that all the wizards may not even know that each other exist, and or might not have even met each other, which I think is pretty cool. Because I always just imagined them like years ago at the beginning of time, all the wizards somewhere together on some council, and then like, you know, thousands of years passed and they all like broke away. But that's just not the case. Like they mightn't, you know, they might not even know of each other. Like I know Saruman says it in the Two Towers. He references the five wizards, but we still don't know like how, like when he first, like he mightn't have met them. He might have just heard of them, and
he might have read about them in a book or something.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But yeah, we shouldn't assume that they all went to like the same wizard school or something. And
yeah. And I was thinking, like the White Council, that was formed ages ago. That was just the three wizards and a bunch of elves. Like, so
I don't even know if Radagast was on that. Was he?
I think he was.
Galadriel was on it.
Elrond. Celeborn
was on it. Celeborn. Possibly.
Círdan was on it.
Círdan was on it, yes. God, I don't know. We're reaching now here. But I don't even know if Radagast was on it. I think it was only...
Tauria?
She definitely showed up. And then she fell in love with Gandalf. She was like, why does it hurt so much?
Because it was fake. yeah.
And who is the fifth?
Well, that would be Radagast, the Brown.
But there are also stories that Éomer and Aragorn actually went into the east after the War of the Ring ended to fight Easterlings there. So could they have met the Blue Wizards? Like, I don't know, guys, what do you think? I think it's fun to kind of theorize about these
things. That would be cool. That would be class. Yeah. Like watching like a little spin-off of Aragorn and Éomer's, antics, just traveling off to the east and bumping into the Blue Wizards and be like, how are you boys? How are you getting on? Jeez, we haven't seen you for a while.
Well, we've never met you before. Like this could be cool. Like maybe not in the Amazon show, but if there's other spin-offs, they should look into things that like are vague and known. Like, you know, these guys traveled east. These guys dwell in the east, so maybe they lived, or maybe they met each other, and maybe they had some tales together.
And of course, I'm sure it's like much more difficult for Amazon to actually pay for the rights to already existing stories. Like, I mean, imagine they wanted to do a story on like Beren and Lúthien or something like that. That'd probably be really expensive to buy the rights to that story. But if they just like were to take the characters of the Blue Wizards and say, we're going to just invent loads of random, like, you know, little episodic stories about what happened to these guys, I'm sure that'd be easier to buy rather than, you know, as I said, to buy an already 100% made story. So that could be cool. Like, as in, if you were the developer of a show, that would be a good option to go for, I would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, we would definitely watch it, obviously. But I think after the pull of the Amazon show, there's going to be a massive new audience for these characters.
Mm.
Then there are the two Blue Wizards. I've quite forgotten their names.
But yeah, before we get into a bit of talking about that, would you like to do a quick quiz? I mentioned it earlier.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Very short. Just to see how much you've learned. And
oh, no.
Also, the listeners, you guys can play along as well. So, Johnny, first question. I'll start off easy. What colour are the wizards?
They're blue.
Now, Tolkien actually... No, I'm only messing.
I mean, you said the wizards. I mean, I'm assuming you're just saying the two blue boys.
Yeah.
Not like other, the white and the grey and the brown.
I just wanted to ease you in. So the next question, which Vala decided to send Alatar the Blue Wizard?
Manwë. Oh.
Incorrect.
Oh, well... No, maybe he was... Sorry, hang on.
Manwë formed the council.
Okay, well then, probably Orome?
Yeah, well done. Ding, ding, ding.
Right, okay. Orome, sorry, it was Manwë. It was Manwë that chose Olorin to go specifically. He wanted Gandalf. Gandalf is also called Olorin, and Manwë was like... Olorin, when he used to be called Olorin, he was not as strong as like Saruman or whatever, but he was very wise, and he was very not so much just wise, because also Saruman was incredibly wise. He was very he was in touch with his feelings and his emotions, Gandalf. And Manwë was like,
it's okay not to be okay, guys.
Yeah. And so Manwë thought that he had some like really good qualities. He was humble. He had learned humility, these types of things. And so Manwë, like, he headhunted him and he was like, I want this boy to be on the team as well. So he sent Gandalf. So, sorry, I got a bit confused there. And then also, like, when you're asking which of the Valar, Manwë is always a safe bet. But then...
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Aromë the Hunter.
Yeah, I like how he said he was headhunted there. Yeah, that's kind of cool to think about. So next question. What year did Tolkien first claim that all the Istari arrived in Middle-earth together?
Holy moly. I don't remember. He said the Third Age, 1019.
Oh, you were so close. 1000.
Oh, 1000. Oh, right,
yeah, okay. 1000, the year 1000 of the Third Age.
Bang on. Right, okay.
Actually, I can't even remember. Is that exactly, maybe it is 1019. Maybe I was just summing it up. I don't know. But yeah, well done. So next one. What does the name Morinatar mean?
Morinatar means East cool Helper? One. No, God damn it. Darkness Slayer.
Well Darkness. Done. Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah. Brilliant. Yeah, just remembering those alone is pretty good. So yeah. Next question. Which other wizard traveled east with the two blue wizards?
Sauron.
Well done. Two questions left. Well, one and a half. What was Glorfindel's task when he was sent back to Middle-earth?
Glorfindel's task was to... what was he doing? Helping out with the armies in the battle in Eriador.
Oh, well done. Assisting Elrond in the War of Eriador. And the final question. What is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow?
What do you mean? The African or the European swallow?
I don't know that.
Oh, yeah, an African swallow maybe, but not a European swallow. That's my point. Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
All right, that was a joke. But well done. You got whatever out of whatever. You did very well.
So, oh, man, I'm sweating.
Yeah, I'm sweating too. I don't know why. It's, I have the heat on, but... But yeah, that kind of concludes most of what this podcast is about. Like I said at the start, there isn't that much written about the Blue Wizards other than the odd letter here from Tolkien and the odd, you know, mention of them in a chapter in Unfinished Tales. But yeah, I want to know, first of all, to you, Johnny, and the rest of you guys, do you think that they could show up in the Amazon show?
I would love that. Yeah. As I said before, that it'd probably be, if you're the makers of a show, it'd probably be the best idea to take some characters that we don't know a whole lot about them, and everybody kind of knows that they exist, but we don't really know where they went, and if they actually, you know, if they turned evil or if they kind of forgot about their task. There's so little information that there's so many ways for there's so many places that Amazon could go with the story. So for me, that would be a great idea as like the creator of the show, but then also as a viewer, I would love to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like not even in the first season, maybe a couple of seasons later down the road, but it would be so cool.
Also, it's always cool to see mystical things in these types of series. You know, there's a big budget there. So you know that they're going to be able to do a lot of work in the production of it. And, you know, wizards are mystical creatures, of course, like, the magic of Middle-earth isn't the same as the magic in like Harry Potter or whatever, but it's like, I think it's more subtle, and I love subtlety in when it comes to magic. So I think that that's really cool. And I'm sure that they will be able to do it in a good way.
Yeah. And just looking, when I was researching this episode, looking at a lot of the artwork for the Blue Wizards, there's so many different varying cool designs. Like there's some of like kind of more typical like Saruman Gandalf style, where two old guys in like hooded cloaks of blue, but then there's other ones where there's like, again, old guys, they've got gray beards but they're short beards, and they're like jumping around with like magic kind of looking bow and arrows and
magic eight balls.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly.
Ask again later.
Yeah, like, I don't know. There's every time I see a different new artwork of these blue wizards, they just look so cool. I don't know what it is about them, but yeah, and I think when there are enigmas in Tolkien's universe, like fans won't be too upset with the likes of Amazon playing around with their story, as they're not really messing with the canon. So, like we said earlier, if there's space to maneuver, you may as well.
Yeah.
like, they're exploited.
Shrouded in mystery.
Yeah. So, guys, do you think that the Blue Wizards could show up in any capacity on the upcoming Amazon show? And what do you guys think about the theories? Could Saruman have had something to do with the disappearance of the two wizards? Why did he return from the East alone? But also, why was this many years before the documented fall of Saruman? And why would he have stayed in the East for so long?
Mm.
So, please let us know. You can find us on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. We're on all the socials and you'll see them in the podcast description below. So please reach out to us and let us know what you think.
There are five of us. The greatest of our order is Saruman, the White.
So guys, before we finish, we just wanted to let you know that we are nearing the end of the Council of Elrond Season 1. We will be finishing soon with the last episode at Christmas, but it is certainly not the end. As you may be aware, both myself and Johnny have full-time jobs, and I'm also halfway through my one-year master's. We have learned so much since we started, and we absolutely love doing these podcasts, and even more so, love talking about Lord of the Rings and Tolkien. In order to keep the standard of the podcast as high as possible, we're going to take a very short break, and then get straight into planning and preparing Season 2, which we already have some great ideas for. We also have some topics and guests planned too, so don't worry, we'll be back sooner than you think. And also be sure to hear the two of us guest appearing in other podcasts coming out over the next few weeks. Yeah, so that's pretty much everything there is on the Blue Wizard. So what do you think, John? Did you learn something new? I know you scored full marks in your test at the end there, but did you enjoy what you heard?
I did, yeah. That was great. Thanks for the information. I know I scored highly, but that's because you literally had just told me those things. And
I know, but I forgot. I was asking the questions and I forgot the answers to them.
I know, I was guessing really most of the time, so I didn't really know what was going on. I was half listening the whole time, but you know.
As a true professional.
Yeah, no, it was really good, really good. I had, as I said, I'd definitely like looked into Blue Wizards and read about them and watched videos on them ages ago. And now that we're doing this podcast where Dave and I are constantly just, you know, looking for, you know, different resources and checking different websites and watching different videos online. And so we're constantly doing that. So the amount of information that we're taking in is quite a lot. And so I had seen some stuff on the Blue Wizards ages ago, but I'd forgotten a lot of it again. So yeah, it was nice to get that reminder and a little refresher course. So that was cool. And I don't think I'd ever heard their names before being those other versions of their names being the East Helper and the Darkness Slayer. So that was cool. I definitely know which one I prefer out of those two.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, and I think that is something, like, we've always been fans of Lord of the Rings, the movies, and then the books. But like, anytime we, you know, maybe 2 years ago or whatever, when we wanted to look online and see a video on the Blue Wizards, or maybe what did Sauron do in the First Age or things like that, like, you would enjoy the video or the podcast or whatever you're listening to, but then you kind of forget it immediately. But I think since we've started doing this podcast, the kind of overall map and timeline of Middle Earth has just kind of become a little more settled in my own head. And I can start like piecing things together. And you know, if someone told me like these guys arrived in the year 1000 of the Third Age, I'd be like, I have no idea what that is. But now I do have a little bit more of a grasp on the timeline, I suppose, which is very nice.
Exactly, the timeline. And also at the beginning of, well, towards the beginning of the podcast, when you said something like you were going to have a big nerd vomit, and then you started spieling on about, you know, Manwë and Arome, and they sent like Kurumo and the Maiar and the Maiar and the Valar and all this. I was like, it's so weird that now that all just made complete perfect sense to me. And you know, a couple of years ago, I would have been like, what are you on about? I have no idea.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, I hope, well, for me, it makes more sense because we've been doing this now for a while and we've learned so much in the last year, I suppose. But also, I hope that our listeners, if you've been following our podcast and if you've been listening to us from the beginning, I hope that you've been on that same journey with us and kind of starting to recognize these names and these I don't know, these different sort of positions like the Valar and the Maiar and things like that, and kind of go, oh, I know.
The hierarchy of power.
Yeah, basically. And saying, okay, they're over there in Valinor and then this is whatever. And so, yeah, I think that I'm sure if you've listened to a few of our episodes, you've definitely picked up on a few of those things. So, or else maybe you just knew all of that already and you were way ahead of Dave and myself.
Probably do.
I'd say a good percentage of our listenership know way more than we do. So congrats to you guys.
I have noticed, though, lately we're getting less and less messages that are like,
you're messing everything up.
Yeah, you screwed up on this and that guy's actually a Meyer. You idiot.
That's just because we blocked all those people, Dave.
Oh, no, we haven't. Don't worry. We welcome criticism.
Dave, you look fat today.
You're welcome. But I do like to, like in today's episode, I did like to kind of dumb it down a little bit. If you're a first timer, you know nothing about Tolkien. I did want to say things like the Valar, they're kind of like the demigods, and then the Maiar are like, you know, they're demigods basically. Yeah, the demigods.
They're the demi moor gods.
So yeah. Did you say demi moor gods?
I did.
Very good. And on that bombshell, we'll leave you now.
I didn't think it would end this way.
End? No, the journey doesn't end here.
Well, that's all on today's episode of The Council of Elrond. You now have more fuel to add to the nerdy flame that you can unleash at your next social gathering of Tolkienites. We hope you enjoyed hearing about these two mysterious wizards as much as we enjoyed discussing them. We would also like to thank you guys for your ongoing financial support. It really means the world to us. If you'd like to become a member on our Buy Me a Coffee account and sponsor us the price of a cup of coffee, head over to buymeacoffee.com/themelonheads. Or just check the links in the description below. We also can't emphasize how important it is to subscribe and leave a review on the podcast, as it really does help us out. So guys, just let us know your thoughts and send in some theories. If you have any cool theories, we want to hear them. If you have any thoughts on what happened to the Blue Wizards, let us know. But until next week, guys, goodbye.